Everybody on Zoom should be well. We've got recording started. Myself and my cohort, Jeremy, are going to keep an eye on participants. If you can on the Zoom side, keep yourself muted, that would be appreciated. To start with, I've got some housekeeping stuff. We'll go through a little few things on intergroup and kind of opening things and stuff like that, and then we'll get right into everything that's going on. So first, I want to thank everybody for showing up. ACA as a fellowship throughout the world, the anniversary. This is the 46th anniversary for ACA. And so Minneapolis, Minnesota Intergroup does an annual birthday party that, those of us have been around the program a while, we do it every January. We bumped it about a week this time through. And this is our time to celebrate ACA, the fellowship, the community that we have here locally, recovery in general. And with Minnesota Intergroup, we like to do a little something along with the celebration, with the treats and everything else. So this year, Intergroup decided through consensus that doing a panel on how to conduct and how to facilitate a Yellow Book workbook group would be helpful for everybody. So without further ado, let's see, housekeeping stuff. So cell phones on vibrate, please. Bathrooms are out the door to the left. There's two of them right out there. We've got snacks over here. There is no right or wrong way to do this. If you want a cupcake in the middle of it, get up and get a cupcake. That's why we're here, because that's our energy. So yeah. At the end, we'll do some cleanup and stuff like that. If anybody can help clean up, that would be great. And this is being recorded, which I think I already mentioned. So intergroup, why are we here? Our purpose of Minnesota Intergroup is to serve the ACA Community Fellowship in the state of Minnesota. We do less now than we did 5 years plus ago. And basically, we organize events. We have an ACA website that's available with resources about the program and local events. We also have a phone line that is monitored and checked, and calls are returned and things for people who are reaching out to find out information about ACA. And then our main function is to inform the community here about what's going on at ACA, and provide ourselves as resources to help facilitate whatever it is we can, the quarterly or the year annual events that we do like this. And there's several others that we do throughout the year as well. So those of us in Intergroup, and I forgot my blue shirt today, but we have blue shirts that say that we're on the board and work with Intergroup. So my name is Chris S. I'm the chair. The vice chair position is open. If anybody else is looking for power-hungry microphone time, just let us know. Jeremy in the back there is our secretary, and he is also in technology, so he helps with a lot of things. Joshua is our treasurer. He is back there, and he also has a seven tradition cup bowl over that is over there, as well as some literature and things like that for purchase. Pam is our communications chair now. She's up in the second row up here, and does email blasts, websites, and things like that. We've got Sharon. She is on Zoom. She's the intergroup delegate for WSO at the national slash global level. Bruce, who is not here, he manages the phones and answers calls and things like that. On the event planning side of things, we've got Pam, and then Kim in the back over there, and then Sharon on Zoom as well. And the event planning is them, as well as, anybody else who's willing and able to help out. And then we have an intergroup. We've got a bunch of people that show up as meeting reps that show up to the meeting. And every meeting is welcome and encouraged to have a rep show up at the intergroup meetings. They're once a month. And the people that show up as reps get to participate, get to see what's going on, get to have a voice for their group and for the community as a whole to help us make decisions with what to do. Like Kim had a group to put on a retreat last year, and Intergroup helped just a little bit with some funding, but otherwise we were there as a supportive role for that. Choosing to do the Yellow Book workbook panel that we're doing today was the result of a conversation that we all had at the intergroup level. The panel that we did last year on sponsorship, same thing. If there's things that you want to see, if you want things to show up in the ACA community, getting involved in Intergroup is the way to do that. We used to do Yellow Book work groups with some regularity, but we haven't been able to for a long time because there's about six or seven or eight of us now that show up on a regular basis. And as you guys are going to learn today, commitment of time to do a Yellow Book workbook is a lot. And the current people that are on the board and in Intergroup don't have additional bandwidth to do these extra things. That comes from the community, volunteers, and things like that. So anybody is welcome to show up the Intergroup meetings, and we would love to have you guys there. Let's see, talk about books, sub-tradition, Wednesday night. There's two announcements. Hold on. So there's a Yellow Book workbook group that just started on January 15th. There's a max of 15 people. Nyla here in the front row can provide additional information, but if anybody's looking to start a Yellow Book workbook group that has just begun, she's got a little bit more openings. There's about seven more people that are able to join that group. She's got it capped off at a certain point to make it more manageable. So talk to Nyla, and there's flyers back on the table back there. And in addition to that, the Wednesday night 7 p.m. Red Book study group at West Suburban Alano is looking for, there's a lot of new people at this meeting. And so if anybody has some recovery under their belt and they would like to show up and just not be, just to be of service to join a meeting, to bring your experience, strength, and hope to help other people in that particular meeting, that would be something that has been requested by that group to be promoted by or sponsored by Intergroup, because we've got email blast. It's a great tool to get messaging out to people. And let's see, what else do we have? I already talked about that. So the Yellow Book workbook group, so we've done polls in the past with the ACA community via email, and what does the ACA community want to see from Intergroup? And the most asked for thing is for Yellow Book workbook groups. And that's why we're doing this today. In the past, like I mentioned before, Intergroup used to do those kinds of things with a regular cadence, but we haven't for a long time because we haven't had people willing and able to put that time commitment forward to be there for themselves and the community as a whole. So with that in mind, and that being one of the most requested things, the purpose of this is having a few people here who have done Yellow Book workbook groups in the past and have learned a lot from them and can give some guidance, inspiration, comforting words, cautions, examples, things like that. That's the whole reason why everybody is here. So on the panelists, we've got directly to my left is Sandy K, and then Jack K, and then Katie F is on the end over there. The format that we're going to go through is Intergroup came up with a bunch of questions, a bunch of pre-screened questions, if you will, and I compiled all those into a list. I'm going to go through that list, and each panelist can speak to those questions in however they see fit. There's outside of what the questions are, there's no real format or guidance here. I had planned on doing the questions, and we'll go through that until about 3:30 or so. We're supposed to break out of here by about 4 and get wrapped up. Hopefully there's some time for social time, and we'll go through the questions, and then I'll open the floor to Q&A for the audience and the people on Zoom as well. Any questions? Somebody missed the first rule. Okay, then, without further ado, hold on. Okay, so these questions are, they're supposed to be, the intent was to go through kind of like a, where do we start to where do we get to at the end of it all? And that's the hope in the question. So the first question we have is, leading or facilitating a Yellow workbook group is a big commitment in a lot of different ways. What did you have to overcome or work through in order to become willing to facilitate a workbook group like this?
Sorry.
Okay, question ball.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Hi, I'm Katie F, and I am from the Monday Night Red Book ACA in St. Paul. We meet at 6 p.m. at St. Mary's on Laurel. So for me, I started a workbook group in February of 2022. I started and found CL ACA in November of 21. So just, you know, 2 months of recovery was when I started gathering information for my group. And then I found folks that were in my group that were really interested in the recovery. So for me, the question is, what did you have to overcome and work through to become willing to facilitate the group? The commitment for me wasn't even a question. I needed the recovery desperately. Before finding this group, I was sick, codependent, and angry. I did this group, starting the Yellow Book group, because I needed it. I knew other people in my meeting needed the recovery too. So I asked around for who wanted to start a group, and at the time, there were three others who wanted the recovery. Willingness was a natural part of the work we had before us. A member of our meeting invited another member from another fellowship. They joined us, and we had a total of five. We started in February of 2022 and finished the work in August of 2023. Our commitment to one another was as long as it takes. That's the answer to that question. I don't think there was anything to overcome. And I would say that for anybody who is struggling to have the willingness, the most important thing that you can do is the Yellow Book work. It's digging into every single thing that is in our minds and in our bodies and in our hearts around family dysfunction. So this is the most important work I've ever done in my entire life. And so I would encourage you, if you've never taken an opportunity to join, please do. That's my elevator speech on that. Pass it to Jack.
Okay, Jack Kay. I've going to be coming up on in August. I'll have 14 years in program. And if I look back, one of the things I needed to overcome was to understand how to do this workbook with another person. I was lucky because I had a wonderful sponsor, and he gave me a real path, you know, to follow, not just for my recovery, but for being able to give it away. When I started the program, I had 38 years of sobriety in AA. So I had the 12-step part of it. But I, after going through the workbook myself with my sponsor, I understood that I had to change how I viewed those steps and what they would mean in terms of my recovery, because ACA was really going to dig into my family of origin, which I had never done before. I think it was my second year that I sponsored. Somebody asked me to sponsor them. And as a sponsor, I took them through the workbook. And in doing so, I also went through the workbook myself, which was really kind of enlightening, because answering the questions again or going through them, I found that I answered them differently, you know, which gave me the confidence that it was working. You know, I was making progress. And it was probably 4 or 5 months after that another person asked me to sponsor them. And I said, fine, because I was really eager at the time. And so I had those two kind of simultaneously going to the workbook. And that gave me an opportunity to kind of look at two individuals differently and how they were progressing and what they needed, because I think each person that attempts to go through this workbook has individual needs. I don't think you can use a one viewpoint that covers everyone. It just, I think everybody has their own things that they need to address. And So it took probably a year, around 18 months. I finished up the first one, and it was a few months after that that I finished up the second one. And then I had two more sponsors that wanted to go through the program. So I started them. And in the middle of that, another person from my group, who's over here, Katie, we decided that we were going to do a yellow paint for a group of people. And if I remember correctly, there were 12 to start out. So it was kind of a new experience for me, and I'm sure probably for Katie. But I learned a lot in trying to facilitate that larger group. But we got through it, and I think we were successful with many of the people. The good news for us was that they were all members of our group. So we had some knowledge of where these people were coming from. After that, gave me the opportunity then to assess the difference between having a large group and a smaller group. So the next group that I started, I had three people in. And that was a real eye-opener for me. The thing that, the way I approached it, I didn't approach it as a facilitator, I approached it as a sponsor. And I felt that was really necessary because I needed to establish a foundation of trust, and not just with me, but with the other participants in the group. I wanted them to feel safe in sharing with each other. So before we started, I sat down with each one of them individually and kind of went through the format that I was going to use, and found out from them what their parts of the program that they were had angst about, such as spirituality. And so I gave them an idea of how that would be handled in the progress of the program. And that seemed to work out really well. The individuals bonded. And so when we finished up, they continued to be fellow travelers and other forms of education. And I thought that was a great experience for them, but it was even more so for me because it gave me more insight on my own journey. The next group I had two, and the next group I had four. And the last group I had, I started out with six, and I wound up one individual dropped out. And that was the first one and the only one that ever dropped out of any of my groups. A lot of the original, or a lot of the last group that I did, I also had another person kind of help me out. And a lot of those last group are present here. So once they finished the program, they went on to take on another program. So the bonding was really strong amongst them. Anyway, that's kind of how I approached it. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Sandy Kay. I'm from the Bloomington 9 a.m. Saturday morning ACA meeting. Oh, ACA meeting, I still can't do that. Sandy from Bloomington ACA 9 a.m. I joined ACA in 2010, so it's 14 years for me too. I've been a part of intergroup for 10 plus years. I was treasurer for 10 years. I retired from that about a year ago. And I lost count of how many Yellow Book groups I've led. I think it's 4 to 6, but numerous. To answer the question, as you can tell, I'm very nervous. I am introvert by nature. Do not consider myself a leader. And I'm not one for public speaking, so I'm not sure why I'm really here, except I believe Yellow Books are a very important topic. So here I am. I do have to overcome that public speaking. Yellow Book groups are a lot smaller than this, so it is a little bit easier. The other thing is, as Chris had alluded, there is a time commitment to it. The Yellow Book meetings that I facilitated, we did them every month for 2 hours, usually on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. So I do my regular Saturday morning meeting and then hop over and do 2 more hours of a Yellow Book meeting once a month. So I did, have to plan around work and doing my other commitment of household duties at home. It was trying to figure out a regular commitment process. But I do like facilitating them, and I do get a lot out of running the meetings. I've always had a co-facilitator to assist in case one of us couldn't make it. But it is a big time commitment. So for that, thank you.
Thanks very much, you guys. Okay, so one of the next questions is kind of in guiding through in the structure of, what did you have to overcome? And then the next one is related to format. So in the context of people, time, and organization, describe the formats of the Yellow Book workbook groups you facilitated.
Okay, and just go ahead and do this. All right, so for us, it was Zoom. Zoom was the chosen format for us since our members reside in 4 different locations, 55 miles apart from north to south and 20 miles east to west. It was a reasonable choice given the weather, age span, and other commitments like school and work that allowed us to meet each week. By age span, I mean that there are some older folks with mobility issues. So we just wanted to make sure it was just a safe place for them just to be at home. And it makes sense. So with our commitments like school and work, it really helped to support just being from home. And to me, it didn't make a difference at all in how real the recovery was. So you can have tangible recovery on Zoom. And don't worry about it. You can move. Our preliminary meeting was the middle of February of 22, and it was to go over what the meetings would look like. So by the third week, we fell into a pretty good pace of sharing, offering support, being heard, and being held by one another. My group is actually still meeting. But we're in a recovery, we're in a review mode now. We have 2 women and 3 men, ages 35 to 78, which is amazing. I can't believe it. So some with only months of recovery and others with decades of recovery when we first began, and both in ACA and then in the Big Book AA program. So we meet each week. The same day from 6 until 7:30. So we meet every Tuesday from 6 until 7:30. However, now we're in a review session with each other since October of 23. And we've been reviewing the steps that we already went through. As for co-leaders, I started with launching the meetings and passed on the Zoom duties to another who's got a dedicated account that we can use. At first, we just had like the 40-minute free program, which was kind of disruptive. There's other free options out there. You can find them. I don't really know what they are. I just use what's available now. So I would say that gender mix, it doesn't matter. I do know that it feels really good to have people of the same gender, but I don't really think it matters because at the core, we're all the same injured, injured inner child. So, and then the time commitment for us, it was just every single week, keeping going, keeping in touch, staying with that pace. So my recoveries look like a Monday meeting and a Tuesday meeting. So like the beginning of my week is front loaded with a lot of intense emotional work, which is great. Because you know that's what we're here for. So and I'll pass.
Thank you. As far as what the format was or is, we allowed so much time for each individual to share on the particular step that we were tackling and where we were at with that. So we would go around, everybody would have 5, 10, or longer if they needed to express their take on the subjects that we were addressing. Once everyone was finished, the rules were that while they were sharing, there was no crosstalk. But after everyone had finished, we opened it up for general discussion. And I found that really beneficial for everyone because they could ask the person different questions or they could respond to someone who shared something that really hit home with them. So I found that to be a real definite plus for the group. The other part of managing the whole thing was to make sure everyone was in the same time frame. So you have to be able to give someone a little extra time to catch up if they're not in tune with the with everyone else. And that didn't seem to be an issue. We allowed them to share at the next meeting what they had missed, the one that they were attending. We met every Thursday at 5:30, I think it was, and that was just before the main meeting, which was right next door. I forgot to mention that I'm from Thursday Night Group at St. Luke's in Wayzata. Anyway, let me see. As far as organizing it, we took the steps, and after we had gone through like step one and two, maybe three, we had one meeting where we did a review, where we went back and kind of did a, what did you take away from these three steps before we took on the fourth? The fourth step obviously took the longest. In some cases, it took 8 months, you know, depending on the individuals. But I always felt that the fourth step was really the nuts and bolts, being able to recover. So as a sponsor looking at the group, I tried to evaluate to make sure that each one really dug into it deeply and got as much as they could, you know, from their efforts. And then we would proceed on. So as far as attendance, I think we were really good. There were a few times when people would miss, but then we would always make sure that they got caught up. We wouldn't just let them kind kind of flail out there in the and so they wouldn't be nervous, you know, trying to feel as though they were falling behind or whatever. And so it all came together very well, I think. I just took the position of trying to assess and evaluate each individual and where they were at. And during the process of sharing, or once we got through and we were in open discussion, if I felt somebody was looking at something from a fixed point of view, I would try to get them to look differently, you know, take another perspective on something, as opposed to just sticking with your first perception of what you felt. And as a, oh, I'm getting the flag. Anyway, I hope that gives you a capsule of how I dealt with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. For me, when I went through my first personal Yellow Book group, there was a coordinator out of intergroup that set up the meetings. They were all at Cavalier Club, and they happened either first, second, third, fourth Sunday of the month, and she would scatter them starting in different months. So there could be four meetings going on the course of the year at different paces in the book. So once I finished mine, she asked me if I would lead a group. So I said, well, I'll do that, but since I'm such an introvert, can I have a co-facilitator? And so I asked someone else if she was willing to do that. She happened to be my sponsor, so it worked out really well for the both of us. But our groups were once a month, like I said before, 2 hours long, took us 15 to 16 months to complete. We usually started out with 15 people. I can't remember. Katie was in my first group. My personal group, we started out with 15 people, and we ended up with four of us, but one of them was the coordinator because she ended up leading our, facilitating our group. So there were three people that stayed. And we kept in touch for many years afterwards. So that was kind of nice. But I like the monthly format because it gives you time to look at the assigned pages. We usually did one step a month, except for the fourth step was 4 months long, 4 months. We would talk through the step, but you would, well, let me backtrack here. I like the monthly one because it gives you time to look at it, to look at the exercises. If you're stuck on how to answer it, you're not rushed because you're going to meet next week. You got a month to talk about it or to think about it and go back and write in your answers. When we shared in our meetings, not everybody had a share. We just talk about it. Two pages at a time, people would share what stuck out in them, answer any questions on those pages that they were comfortable with. Somebody didn't answer anything. Most of the meeting did not feel comfortable sharing. So we also assigned fellow travelers. So there's always that you would meet with before the next meeting and go over the assigned pages and kind of discuss them between yourselves one-on-one and a little more intimate setting. Someone you could share with, or if you didn't want to share it with the bigger group. So that's how I was trained to set up to do the meetings, and I've always, all the meetings I've done have pretty much been in that form.
Excellent. Thanks, you guys. One of the things that I'm sure all of us can relate to in all facets of group work in ACA is that, so when we're in a group environment, there are personalities, there's crosstalk, there's triggers, there's a potential for inappropriate conduct and things like that. So there's a lot of personal dynamics with people and personalities in a group setting. The Yellow Book group definitely digs into that stuff quite a bit. So while you guys were facilitating the group, what are some of the ways that you established and maintained the sharing guidelines for the group for the safety of the people there?
All right. I'm Katie from the Monday Night ACA Red Book. So With my group, we set up a framework right from the get-go, and I think it'll actually be on the resources page when we share this share. Is that right?
Yes, I forgot to print out a bunch of those things for the people here today, but we will have several different formats up on the website available for download, maybe in like a week or so.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. So right before we began the group, we had some folks that kind of helped consult in like how to be safe in the meeting. And so I'll just go ahead and read that. So I'll read that. That'll be available. I shared it with Chris. It was something that, you know, we forged organically as a group together, and it kind of ended up working out really well. So that resource will be available. Just want to give that opportunity to follow along and sign up for the email list with the inner group. So we set up a framework much like our Red Book meetings with no crosstalk. And I think getting to know one another, we were respectful of one another. A friend in recovery had suggested some guidelines which supported us from the outset. This was a collaboratively agreed upon as a group. We allowed each other to share as much as needed. At first, we had a few minutes allowed for each share, and that worked out really well. And after a while, it became easier to know what limits we needed, and it was a natural progression in our recovery, i.e. healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. However, a couple of folks in my group have been coworkers creating a side discussion, and not to be offensive, but just to some extent that was necessary just to bring a group conscience to keep us moving forward. And I wasn't in charge per se, but I was just kind of helping to keep us moving along because if I didn't say something, we wouldn't be moving forward. So I would just, you know, have that time in the beginning and be like, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, start our with our opening prayer, some you know, thing that where are we at in the group tonight, and then open up and go from there. So that was something necessary just to keep us moving forward. In our meetings, we always bring in a sharing and recovery discussion at the beginning. It's a touchstone. It helps us to all feel supportive of one another, and also to feel supported when we talk about our lives and our progression and recovery, and talk about, you know, things that are challenging. And then having that safe place to be held and to get help from people who love us in a special way. I mean, there's no question that those five people that were in a group together for other people, we love each other, and we love each other in a very special way because we've gone through the darkest places with one another. And I think that's the beautiful thing about a smaller group of five, and having a really good balance. So I have been through some real challenges in my regular group, and we had to deal with somebody that wasn't safe for my regular Monday night group. And it was a real challenge, and it did damage the meeting a little bit. And we had to come around full circle on that and create a group conscience. I felt really unsafe. And so we had to actually remove somebody from the meeting, and we had to have a group conscience. And it's really hard, but you know that people are in your group that really care about the meeting. And so I would just have a lot of trust in your fellow travelers, and then just, you know, go back to the guidelines, go back to what's in the recovery, the traditions, lean on those things that are outlined for you, because that is there for a reason. You know, those are guardrails that really can help us. So anytime there's something that's not right, you know, follow your gut. It really, really matters. With that, I will pass.
Thanks. I think I've kind of mentioned at different times some of the things that as far as crosstalk or triggers. I was kind of fortunate because the majority of the participants in my groups were in the main group to begin with. So we all kind of had a sense of who we were and how we saw each other. I think the last group, I had one individual who was brand new, and I had no prior knowledge of him. But he did know other people that were in the group. So I haven't had any issues with inappropriate behavior. But I think I try to assess each one before we begin. So we had kind of the first meeting was kind of a planning thing where we discussed the format, we discussed the commitment, which was really important. And I tried to stress on each individual that it was not only a benefit for themselves, but for the rest of the group, that you had to make a commitment for the time. And everybody understood that it was going to be at least a year and a half, and we were going to meet weekly. And if there were issues as far as time and everything else, then you needed to notify us before. Or if you're going to be late for a meeting, don't let us all sit there waiting for you. You know, let us know what's going on so we can either decide that we're going to take the time to wait for you to get there, or we'll just move on and let you catch up once you arrive. So I think for the most part, we had good boundaries. We had good attendance, and I think everyone felt safe. And I tried to present that at the very beginning that, again, it's a safe place for you to share whatever your feelings are and however things that you want to share or you don't have to share necessarily. I know in the fourth step, there's some real delicate parts in there, such as sexual abuse and some of those others. And it's difficult at times to, if you're involved in some of that, to express it in front of other people. I did try to soften that by giving my own experiences in a lot of these areas. So I let them know that I was willing to, you know, share my own experiences with this. And I think that made a difference as well. So let's see. I'm trying to get on here so I can get the flag. As far as sharing, there was no crosstalk again during the chair, but at the end, we did open up for discussion. And I thought that was an extremely important time or a benefit for everyone because we could get more in depth, you know? It was like, how did you arrive at that? How did that feeling, you know, allow you to express the fact that you were sexually abused when you were 9 years old? And I think in doing so, the bonding between all of the subjects were, I mean, it's just amazing. And they have continued on to address other workbooks, and I continue to work with them. But again, I'm kind of fortunate because they're in my group. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you. For our meetings, we've always talked about the crosstalk, you know, as much as getting go over the format. But my first yellow book reading that I ran, we had a person that was hitting on a couple of the women outside of the meetings and not taking no for an answer. And then also the same person, when we got to step three, turn our will over to the lives of God, he kept heavily pushing his Catholicism. and which this caused triggers to a few of the members in our group because they had had issues with the Catholic Church. So I had, it was a hard time for us to stay on task, to stay off the religion conversation and onto the spirituality conversation. I did learn from that meeting to keep people on task more. What happened is we, in a discussion outside the meeting with the women, since we had a co-facilitator organizing the yellow book groups, we elevated it to her. Because of the issues, the women didn't want to have a group conscience to let everybody know that this was going on with them. So she talked to the person and asked him not to attend the meeting anymore. But it was a sensitive matter, so we felt we didn't want to do our group conscience. But there are people that are going to do that, and you just, you know, need to be aware that it's going to happen and do take it. The time to sit down and talk to them or have someone talk to them. So that'll be us.
Thank you. As we go through some of the questions and things like that, the answers are going to navigate around to some of the other questions because there's a lot of overflow and how we get into these things. So, and I'm going to bump around a little bit on the questions for the sake of time. If we can get to everything, that'd be great. One of the things, and Jack kind of alluded to this, as did everybody did a little bit. So in a yellow book, workbook group, the yellow book goes deep into our past experiences and things like that. A lot of the topics, and there's a whole chapter on abuse, can be very uncomfortable to think about, let alone discuss with other people. And sometimes in the yellow book group, you don't necessarily know everybody that's in that group, right? And when you get to that point in the book, you do, but at the same time, they're not necessarily people you've been with for a long time. So in the context of dealing with the chapter on abuse and some of these difficult topics that come up in the yellow book group, what would you do to create and make the safe space for people to share?
This is Katie. I think the pace of the group and the safety we felt with one another helped us. Speaking out about physical abuse to our bodies gave us the freedom to feel seen and heard. We did not crosstalk. Sometimes we would say, "I'm so sorry that happened to you." And so that each person would know that they didn't have to be alone anymore. And that was, you know, when I first said that to someone, I was like, I don't want to be cross-talking, but I do want to, like, give them comfort to know that they were heard. And that was an important part for me, just to say, you were seen, you are heard, and you're not alone anymore. Because it's really hard to talk about things that have happened to us. And so that allowed us to know we'd gone through something horrific, traumatizing, and difficult, and we knew we were safe to process these emotions, and we gave one another this space to feel safe, and it worked out really well.
Thanks. Well, again, in the groups that that I've done, I shared my own experience with all of them. And I think that kind of softened the environment and gave everyone kind of permission to explore their own abuses and how they wanted to express how it felt and how they dealt with it. And the other thing is, during the discussion part of the group, if someone did have the strength or the courage, you know, to express some of that, the support came immediately from the other participants in the group. And I think that strengthened the bonding process that went on. It allowed everyone to feel connected, which is what I strive to accomplish, was to get everyone connected to the process and to the program, but more importantly, to the each other and to themselves. And yeah, it's a very difficult area for a lot of us to express our feelings about it. It took me 60 years to deal with mine. And so that's a long time to harbor those emotions and those feelings about it. And I think when I shared that, gave them the opportunity at least to recognize it. It not only was important to get it out and to share it, but that was the way to heal from it. So I think it was a good way to approach it overall. Thank you.
All right, I think I kind of alluded to my answer in my previous answers, but I think having the fellow traveler model meeting in between the meetings helped open discussion on a more intimate basis between the fellow travelers, whereas they might not want to share with a bigger 15 people group because it's male and female, and it's more comfortable doing it that way. So when we met in our larger groups of 15, sometimes 25 people, not everybody, we didn't have time for everybody to share on every page. So people shared as they were comfortable sharing the point we were at. No one was required to share on their page. And I think that made it more comfortable for everybody. They just shared as they were, as they felt they were comfortable to do it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Good to remember that we don't always have to share with that stuff if we don't want to, but having safe space is a very good thing if we want to. In regards to some of the other long-term difficult work with going through the Yellow Book group, the fourth step and the fifth step are two of those. And traditionally, there is a large chunk of time dedicated to the fourth step. And then fifth step, that's going to be a little challenging too, depending on who's in your group. So how did each of you go through the fourth and fifth steps with your groups?
All right, so the fourth step is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, and the fifth step is sharing that with another person in recovery. So we each made our lists and gave one another the space to be with a fellow traveler outside the group or a trusted leader in the community. So we read through our lists, and sometimes we didn't read through our lists. Sometimes with just the space we created helped us to be able to make these lists. It was up to each of us to recover to the level that worked for us. Our fifth steps were sometimes with a therapist or a long trusted friend in a church group or other recovery program. And no one was forced to do anything or have any level of accountability. We each knew what we needed. And that allowing for space was really important for us to all have our own peace of mind. And nobody in our group was an authority figure. You have to do this. You have to do this. Because we're all in recovery at whatever level and pace works for us. And that's okay. I mean, we read through each part of the book. We read through every page. We, you know, reviewed the questions. And we just gave ourselves that opportunity to, you know, have the space available to us. So that's what worked for us.
Thanks. When we finished up with the fourth step, everyone was encouraged to make a list of what they wanted to change or how they wanted to proceed in their recovery. In other words, make a list of all the things that haunted you I also tried to emphasize that the fifth step would be like a starting point, because once you do a fifth step, that what is behind you becomes your history. And moving forward after the fifth step becomes your future. And if you're going to make changes, then you need to understand that you can no longer drag your history into the present in making those choices about what is going to define you. How do you want to create a new identity if you continue to drag the past into your present? So it was really important, I think, to emphasize that particular thing, is that your fifth step is where you drive the stake in the ground. And that doesn't mean that your history is no longer part of you. It's always going to be a part of you. You don't want to deny your history. You just don't want it to be in the present where you continue to make choices based on that. And I think for the most part, everyone really understood that, picked up on it, and moved forward under that philosophy, I guess you'd call it, or whatever. At any rate, I also asked them to write down what they wanted, the four or five things that they really felt strongly about in terms of what they wanted to be defined by. What is my identity going to be after this work that we've done, this progress that we've done, and the discovery of who we were and what we wanted to be? And it isn't necessary that you had specific things that you want to be, but you sure don't want to be what you were. So what are you going to do about that? You know, when you come to the point where you're making choices, you need to understand what you're dealing with. Are you in the present? Are you in the past? Or are you in the future? And I think that's a critical point in everyone's recovery. It sure wasn't mine. I know that when you talk about what defines you, it can be scary. I was 69 years old when I started this program, and I thought I knew everything. So it was quite a shock to me that I found out I didn't know squat. I did know about my addiction, but I didn't know anything about me and what defined me, in the promises it says you will find your true self. And I had no idea what that was going to look like. And I think everyone probably in the beginning of their recovery is a little bit nervous about what that's going to look like and how it's going to feel. So I think it's important to look at things in the present and make your choices based on what you learned, but not on how it affected you. So we'll go with that. Thanks.
Thank you. The format that I use for the fourth step, since there is 12 exercises, we divided the group step into four exercises, four meetings, three exercises each, which worked out really good. Going through, like I said earlier, my first group started out 15 people, and we dropped down to three. Well, most of the people dropped out working through the fourth step. You can all agree with me that the fourth step is the hardest step to complete. So I wasn't going to, we would just go through our exercises, and each month we would go through it. We would lose people. Okay. The subject work is hard, and the people, it just comes to the fact that the people aren't ready to deal with the questions that are being asked in these exercises yet. So they need to stop and step back, rethink, regroup, and eventually they're going to come back to another yellow book group and finish the steps. So that's basically, I mean, the four step. Fifth step, since everybody made it through the 12 exercises, we just help them find someone, sponsor someone to listen to their fifth step, and it was done. And then it was all done from finishing the rest of the steps. So thank you.
Thank you. The one of the things that I know that facilitators and people doing the Yellow Book workbooks, they're also going through the book themselves at the same time. There's no rules for how to do it. It's like sponsorship. You know, there's rough guidelines, but there's no, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. So in that context, when you are going through and you're facilitating a book and trying to get the work done yourself, how do you navigate that and make sure you're able to address both your own personal recovery work while doing the Yellow Book and making sure that the group is on track and everything's moving forward?
Chris, this is, and then there's also the second question after that that says, what are the expected benefits? Would it be okay to answer that too?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do that. All right, so how I manage the dual role of being engaged in my own work and being a facilitator. Sometimes my own problems and experiences made me feel like I was taking up too much space. And that's something that I've had to, that's a very recent revelation for me is like, am I allowed to take up space? And that's been a big revelation in my recovery. So I needed the group to support me through a lot of challenging emotions. Earlier, I stated that I asked another traveler to host the Zoom meeting, which helped. I needed that for some times when I was struggling with too much work during college classes or illness. And so for me, it was just like, am I allowed to take up space? And, you know, found myself apologizing a lot. And that's part of the recovery is like realizing that this was a character trait that I needed to work through. And then I'll talk about the benefits. So for me, being a facilitator leader, I felt accomplished, especially completing our work in 81 weeks, consecutive weeks, just going through it. And then feeling empowered by my fellow travelers to be a leader and to be able to use my talents to bring a different feeling to the group. Sometimes I found a passage in one of several daily recovery group books that contributed to our topics. I like the Letting Go book by Melody Beattie. That's just a wonderful daily devotional. And she's a well-known author in recovery. And then, you know, the daily meditation. And sometimes I just flip to a certain page and just be right the message that we needed. And for me, it was just really humbling to be a servant leader rather than in charge because there's nobody in charge. We're a group. So that's.
Thank you. Let's see. As far as I always tried to make time to share my own experience on a particular topic or on a event that we were discussing. I also made sure that I had enough time to say, well, this is how I answered the questions 10 years ago, but this is how I'm answering it today. So it gave everyone an idea of my own growth, my own experience, and my journey to healing. And I think that was important to let them know that during this experience, it's going to be difficult, but in the long run, you're growing at the same time you're struggling with all of these questions, these issues, and everything else. So, lost my spot here. At any rate, well, I guess that's kind of how I push it. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks. Some of the issues I have being a facilitator and going through the process, sometimes when, you know, with the fellow travelers, if there were an odd number of women in the group, I didn't get paired up with somebody. And so I found myself not completing the book work on a timely basis, and I'd be scrambling to finish it a couple days before our next meeting, whereas I didn't have that person pushing me to meet to discuss this information ahead of time. So that was a struggle for me. But being a facilitator and just listening, I feel I learned more about myself listening to their perspectives as a facilitator, and I garnered a lot more insight from everyone on our monthly meetings. And the other question, expected or unexpected benefits, learning a lot from everybody again. After we completed the steps, we would have a celebration party, and I would always reiterate the 12 step, carry the ACA message on to others who still suffer. And to me, that is service work. And there has been many people out of my groups that have taken on various service work, including me leading yellow books. So that was the ultimate blessing.
Thanks, Sandy. Jack, the other two have already answered the expected or unexpected benefits from hosting. We'll do go ahead and answer that, and then we're going to turn it over to questions and answers from the audience and from the folks on Zoom. We do have the room until 5, so we'll keep this going until about 4 or so, and then we'll wrap up and everybody better eat all the cupcakes. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, thanks. Benefits. I knew there was something. But at my age, I have these points in time where I kind of lose things. Anyway, the biggest benefit that I get from doing these groups is I get the connection to the souls of these individuals. Being Irish, one of the traditions in the Celtic is the Amantara, which means the connection of the souls. And that's why I think the bonding is so close and so tight with all of us that go through these groups. I feel I'm very blessed to have individuals trust me enough to share their deepest, darkest secrets and their issues and their problems. And I never thought that during my lifetime I would have that experience with anyone, let alone numbers of people, and not just in the groups that I perform, but within the large group itself. One of the blessings of these groups are you have a bond and a connection to them that you won't find anywhere else. It just isn't possible. So I feel blessed for the program, but I also feel blessed with having experienced the travels through individuals that go through this workbook. I think that is a very critical time in our recovery, but it's also a very personal time that you can get connected with these individuals. And the other part of the soul connection is that neither time nor distance can weaken that connection. So you always have that connection to these people, and I really feel that very strongly. everyone that I take it through. So that's how I benefit from it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jack. Okay, so we'll open it up to questions and answers. And I've got the first one queued up here on Zoom. Carly had asked for a specific example. Oh, and not everybody has to answer. If you guys got something to say, by all means, grab the mic and do it. If you don't, that's fine too. No expectations. Give an example of the specific language that was used when a member was unsafe and or needed to be removed from the L book group.
That didn't really apply to my group, but I know that in my Red Book group, there were situations where we had to remove somebody. So I think there was just people that would refuse to be in that group and would like physically not be in a, like we count off by numbers and they would remove themselves from that group. So in that situation, we just eventually had a group conscience and voted this person to leave our actual meeting. And it was a conversation with their sponsor and the sponsee. So that's how that went.
Thank you.
As I recall, there was never any issues with the study groups or with the yellow book groups, but we did have a couple of occasions in a larger group where someone was really creating havoc. And so it was kind of put to some of the senior members of the group to find a way to deal with this individual. And unfortunately, it wound up on my plate. So I had, the way I dealt with it is I contacted the individual who had brought this person to the group. And the way I explained to them is that the individual had a very visible addiction and didn't really belong in ACA. They belonged in another group, which would help them with the addiction. And so I think that made it a little easier for them to understand because they weren't really aware, you know, of how this person was going to react. But it was pretty disturbing for a lot of our group people. So that's, I guess, how I handled the one particular thing. Thanks.
Well, like I alluded to before, we did have to kick someone out of our yellow book group, but because I elevated it to the coordinator of the yellow books, I really do not know what the conversation entailed, so I really can't feel comfortable answering that question.
I can speak briefly to that too, because I've had a similar experience in the past, and as I go and Katie mentioned it, I don't remember if Jack mentioned it specifically or not, but a group conscience is typically the way to go with something like that, so that it's not a decision made by an individual. That was our perspective on that. Getting a consensus among everybody that this was the right thing for the safety of the members of the group itself. Questions from the audience. I don't have anything in Zoom at this point. If you have anything, just let me know what it is and I'll repeat it into the mic so that the people on Zoom can hear it. Yeah.
That's for Katie, actually. Tell me more about the process. It sounds like you're working with it.
The question was, Matt was asking about what the review process was in Katie's yellow book format.
Yeah, this was an idea brought by somebody who's got 40 years of recovery in AA, and they suggested that we just look back through our steps. And so we've gone through basically a step a week since August and or October, something like that. That allowed us to just, we've just gone through it. We've just kind of read through, like, we've definitely cherry picked like the language because so much of this is very repetitive. So we try to just read like the summary of the step. And then, you know, if there's something that we feel we need to read through, then we'd read through it and just talk about it. Just talk about, the reading and, my book is highly marked up with paint, a whole lot of detail. Here's one example. This looks insane. But it's that's the recovery, right? So just kind of going back through and seeing how we were then and how we are now, it's shown us where we were at and shows us where we are. And well-worn rut, that's funny. There's just all sorts of great stuff that's that comes out of it. But I think just giving ourselves a chance to reflect on where we were and how far we've come has been, it's been a really beautiful part of our recovery. I did want to offer this information for like how a meeting looks. So like I said, 90 minutes, we open up with just like usually just the ACA Serenity Prayer. And then we'll have an open discussion. The Serenity Prayer, of course, gives us the serenity, that peaceful connection with one another and with the fellowship worldwide. And then we'll, you know, get into what we plan to read. And then at the end, we'll read through any number of resources that are in this book. Like, we'll read the laundry list, we'll read the promises, or we'll read the solution, which we call a gift. And then we'll even read through what does ACA recovery look like, which is something that I never really thought about reading before. And so I'm like, let's read this. And so I just want to share that that's something that we close with, or close with a daily meditation or some other reading. I think that's helpful.
Thank you. Annette?
What's the positive comments by fellow traveler? When I started during COVID, I started on a Zoom meeting, and someone was assigned fellow traveler to start the yellow book, and it just was not a match at all. And so, how do you go about matching up fellow travelers versus allowing the person to find their own fellow traveler?
Thank you. The question was, when it comes to assigning a fellow traveler from a facilitator with a new group that is starting, that doesn't work out, how do you deal with it? How do you figure out who would be a good match potentially in the front end anyway?
Well, since I'm the only one that really used fellow travelers, I guess I get to answer this one. We would, in our first meeting, we would assign fellow travelers. It would be women with women, men with men. Sometimes there'd be two, most of the time it would be two, sometimes it would be three, depending on the group number. In the first time I did it, the first ones I did, we'd meet with both fellows, assigned fellow travelers for maybe 2 or 3 months. And then we'd ask, do you want to switch fellow travelers? And if someone wanted to switch fellow travelers, then we would scoot them around. Sometimes we lost people, and so someone was up without a fellow traveler, so we had to reorganize them anyways. And so eventually it got to a point where there was fellow travelers that were comfortable with their fellow travelers. And it's hard to tell because you don't know all the personalities when you're starting out with a bigger group like that. So that helps.
Great. Thanks, Andy. I don't have anything else on Zoom yet. I just picked them again. Rose?
I'm wondering if the panel has any preferences on what they think a good size group would be.
The question is related to their experience or recommendations on the group size of a yellow book group.
For me, I like starting out with 15, and usually you're going to lose a lot of people and end up with anywhere between 4 and 8 people. I did have one group where we didn't really have a cutoff. When we put the notice out, we didn't say we only want to cut it off at 15 people. And this was after we had an intergroup having been sponsoring yellow books for a while. So it was one of the first ones that we were starting again. And so we got to the church we were going to hold the meeting at. We ended up with between 25 and 30 people showing up. And we were scrambling to find tables and chairs to seat everybody. That was a little hard. It did work. We ended up making up into small groups during the meeting instead of all trying to go through it together. But a more intimate group is no more than 15 to start with.
I have, for my own preference, kind of looked at 6 being the maximum and 3 being the minimum, or 4. I think for me, that was the ideal environment for everyone to bond and become on their journey. So I'll pass with that.
Yeah, my group actually had, I think, 7 people at our first meeting, and it was clear that it wasn't right for a couple of the people. And then there was a point where people would ask to join my group, and I'd be like, no, I don't think you can join our group. We already started. And the level of intimacy that we built in this group of 5 was super, like, you know, really, really sacred space. So I didn't allow anybody else to join as a part of the group conscience. Like, we aren't letting anybody else join us at this point after 3 weeks. We're like, no, we just were trucking along. And I think everybody was really dedicated to their recovery. So I think I got really lucky. I think I won the ACA lottery with my group of 5. And in their identities, there's like 2 that were in the medical field. One was a retired minister. One was a software person. And then me as a, you know, phone customer service kind of person. So I think 5 is a really good number. There are meetings where we meet and the, you know, we thought we had 3 as a quorum, and, you know, quorum or just, you know, getting together. And if it was less than 3, we wouldn't have a meeting, and that's okay. But 3 is a minimum, and that helps keep things at a nice pace. And then we would alternate reading and answering questions.
Awesome. Great questions. Great answers. Any other questions? I'm going to push this right up till 4 o'clock. So,
just an alcoholic, or sorry, how almost said alcoholic for me, but adult child. I had a question about one of the traditions. I was wondering, well, it's 2-part. 1, we have a business that is a business structure at least here, and it's called the complete shuffle. And then 2, is there outreach? Can we take certain groups and certain, like parallel to what AWP does, is we'll take a hospital,
sure,
or a jail and stuff like that?
The question posed was more related to structure of intergroup and how we're involved, and then also outreach commitments that intergroup may or may not be involved in. I'm happy to talk to you about that once we get done with the panel group discussion, because there are lots of opportunities. So, good question. Are there any other questions for the panelists? I have one that will at least take up the last 4 minutes. It was on the original list of questions that I skipped over because they kind of touched on. So one of the things that can be a challenging dynamic among groups, and some of you have talked a little bit about this already anyway, is in the context of spirituality. ACA is a spiritual program. It's not a religious program. And having an openness and a willingness to some sort of spiritual connection is an integral part of recovery and success and, you know, just going through the process and healing and all of that. Give some examples of, and I don't care what the context is necessarily, just based on spirituality and like, how did that come up? How did you deal with it? What was good? What wasn't good?
Sure. So I have my answer written here, that we talk about higher power and God interchangeably, a concept that works for all views, and we leave room for everything. Sometimes the book veers a bit too much into religious doctrine, and we find ourselves interpreting the concepts and reviewing the meaning of the step and the intent of the paragraphs. It's something that I find, there's a specific language in the end of step 9
that talks about I want to read this because it bothers me. Page 146, it says, surely we need a miracle if we are facing this in our lives. And it's like a miracle, and it's like recovery itself is a miracle. And so the people who wrote that section just need to rethink that, because, you know, they talk about the adult child who's a sex addict, and it's kind of like, actually, you can recover in recovery with your fellow travelers. Anyway, there's all sorts of more things to talk about, but higher power and God interchangeably work for my group, and there are people in the group who are not religious.
I've always approached it with the understanding that everyone needs to, everyone needs to have a form of something that's bigger than themselves. And if you have no connection to God as you understand him, then pick something that is going to be able to support you. That can be the group, which I recommend to most very highly, because you come so you become so intimate with one another. I also don't encourage or have any open discussion about organized religion during the Yellow Book process. And we do refer to God as you understand him. Some people have an aversion just to the word. And if that's the case, you can replace that with something else that makes you feel more comfortable. As an example, during the when they open up with the prayers and so forth, when it comes time to, when you get to the point where it's God, you can fill in anything that makes you comfortable. You don't have to say that word specifically. And that has, I guess, worked pretty well, because I've never had any conflicts regarding that. So I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, I kind of alluded to this in my other answers, because we had that issue with the religion versus the spirituality discussion. I did learn from that we need to keep in future Yellow Book meetings that we need to keep on task, not so much religion talk, but keep it more on the spirituality side. I mean, you can't get away if somebody mentioning that they're Catholic. I'm Catholic. I sing in my choir. You guys are my people, but my church is my people too. But I don't push it in Yellow Book meetings. I do not push it in my Red Book meetings. I may bring it up once in a while just because we're on that topic a little bit, but it's like, it's not pushed, it's a mention. But you need to keep it out of the religion side and remind people that ACA is a spiritual space, not a religion space.
Excellent answers. Thank you very much, you guys. Okay, so that puts us at 4, and that is the end of the panelist conversation. Thank you, Katie, Sandy, and Jack. We appreciate your time and your insight very much. All right, a couple of closing things real quick. So there's about 30 people in here. And since Yellow Book workbook groups are the biggest thing that's asked for of intergroup, and we've just had an amazing panelist discussion of how to do that, how to conduct it, how easy it is, and the commitments of time and things like that. Now, Yellow Book groups sometimes, like Jack does, his are mostly focused around his group, like his actual weekly meeting, his home group. There's a lot of other groups that have gone on that are, they are, call it sponsored by intergroup. So on the mailing that we send out, if you're not on there, go to adultchildrenmn.org. All the way at the bottom, there's a registration link, plug in your email address. Then you get the cool emails that Pam sends out. They're super fly. They have Yellow Book workbook. books and events and other stuff like that in those units. So I'm hoping that we'll see, let's say, one third. So we'll have 10 people willing to start a Yellow Book workbook group. They'll reach out to intergroup and say, hey, we want to open it up to the whole ACA community, because how awesome would that be for them and me? Let's do it. What do you guys think? Is that a great idea? So in that, just know that Intergroup's function is exclusively as a service organization to the Minnesota ACA community. That's the only reason why we do this. We're all volunteers, and we make time to prioritize trying to help get information, context, resources, and things like that out to everybody in the ACA community. Because without us, without the volunteers, that doesn't exist. Just like a meeting doesn't exist if people aren't there. There's not two people there, it's not a meeting. For recovery to work, my experience, it requires fellowship. That fellowship is at least two people talking, sharing honestly among one another. And at the intergroup level, which is a, you know, it's a different level from the group level, there's intergroup. Our only function is to get information out to people. And we need volunteers, and we need the community to step up and help us do that. It's a joint operation. It's a fellowship between the ACA community at large and intergroup itself. So I just implore anybody that's interested in getting involved, like one gentleman had asked for, we'll definitely talk to you, because there's options out there and there's opportunities. There's no requirement for showing up. Like, there's just help. We could use it. You'll benefit from it. It's a great thing. So thanks to the panelists. Thanks to everybody on Intergroup that helped organize. And thanks to the audience and everybody on Zoom. There's still cupcakes and stuff. We really appreciate everybody showing up here, because this is the kind of stuff that is really beneficial for me and for everybody else, I think, involved, and for everybody participating. So, yes, Joshua.
For those who do want to get involved, when is the next intergroup meeting?
The next intergroup meeting is it the first weekend? I always forget. The second? It's the second weekend coming up in February at the Cavalier Club out at 10:30 to 12. Always forget what weekend it is. You think I'd remember? I've only been doing it for a couple of years now.
Saturday the 10th.
Saturday the 10th. Thank you, Jeremy. All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your time.
Sorry, but that was the other one. I was just getting to college. Well, I'm trying to learn. I was here, and I'm not going to pass the rest of the show.